Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
The Human Zoo, where they don't hide away the sick animals.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the great dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Stand to attention when I'm talking to you!
On Talk Radio.
This mess!
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. Just when you thought it was safe to go back to the airport, it all started again last night. Heathrow Airport was shut down for around an hour at 5 o'clock yesterday because, guess what? Someone spotted another drone. Once again, we don't know whether it was true or why it was deemed safe to reopen one of the runways once again. Is this going to go on all year? Are we going to have to put up with this for the rest of time? For heaven's sake, only yesterday we were telling you all how both Heathrow and Gatwick were supposedly now drone-proof because they were going to get all sorts of defensive mechanisms put in place. Well, wouldn't you just know it that as soon as we start saying that, we have to shut down the airport once again. We'll be looking into that and finding out what on earth happened yesterday and why it was allowed to happen. Meanwhile, back in the surreal world of Westminster, the government lost yet another vote last night thanks to the rebellious twisting and turning of 20 Tory MPs who sided with a Labour motion to stop a no Brexit deal. The problem is, what they did was less than symbolic and won't have any effect on how we leave the EU on March the 29th. However, what is the point of being a part of the government if you aren't going to support it? What is the point of being in the Tory party if you're going to actively undermine it? And what is the point of having a referendum where the public decide policy only to ignore that policy and treat the public with contempt? These are the people, by the way, who voted you in. Those 20 MPs, and I'm going to name them all and shame them all this morning, ought to be ashamed of themselves, and the Tory party ought to kick them out. Let them all stand in a by-election and let us decide who we want to keep and who we want to sack. You know it makes sense. 0344 499 1000. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll be finding out what the new smart motorways are all about and whether the speed cameras on them are going to be treating us all slightly differently. We're also going to find out why some overambitious parents are actually harming their own children's chances of a decent education. And James Whale will be joining us as well with an appreciation of bald heads, of which, of course, he is one. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, right here on Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Now, it's always a good time to read a roll call of shame, and I like nothing more than to start my Wednesday mornings with a roll call of shame. And let's have it. Heidi Allen, Guto Bebb, Richard Bennion, Nick Bowles, Mr. Kenneth Clark, Mr. Jonathan Jangley, Mr. Sir Michael Fallon, George Freeman, Justin Greening, Mr. Dominic Grieve, Mr. Sam Gyimah, Dr. Philip Lee, Sir Oliver Letwin, Nicky Morgan, Robert Neal, Antoinette Sandbach, Sir Nicholas Soames, Anna Soubry, Mr. Edward Vasey, Dr. Sarah Wollaston, all of them supposedly Tory MPs, all of them rebelled last night, sided with the opposition, sided with a Labour motion to try and cripple the government's ability to leave the European Union with no deal. They have no business doing it. They have no mandate for it. And I'm saying right now that these 20 Conservative MPs are a disgrace to the Tory party and they should be kicked out forthwith. If I was Theresa May, I would be telling my people in Downing Street, I don't care about the number numbers in Parliament. I don't care about the people that we need to vote with us to make sure that we leave the European Union with my deal. I don't give a stuff. I want these people out, and I want them out now. And I'd face the music and make them stand in a by-election and see whether any of their constituents actually want to keep them as MPs. I want to hear from you on this. 0344 499 1000. This is, of course, the Independent Republican Mike Graham. We brook no rebellions here, I can tell you. Let's talk to Katie Perry and find out what she makes of it all. Katie, very good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning.
Now, I'm pretty wound up about these characters, these 20 Tory MPs. What is the point of being in the Tory party if they're just going to rebel against it?
I think you're getting your knickers in a twist a bit this morning,
really?
Mike. I've got to say, because you read out a list of 20 MPs, they tend to be some of my favourite people in Parliament because they tend to be quite reasonable. They tend to be quite middle of the road. And they are obviously petrified of a no-deal scenario.
Why?
And because they're parliamentarians. They're closer to it than we are. They're seeing day in, day out, the kind of reports back, what's going on. Exactly. Mike, we can't even organise a fake car park full of lorries. We didn't even get that right as a country.
Yeah, well, no, we are woefully underprepared.
I
take no blame for that, right? That was Chris Grayling, failing Grayling, who couldn't organise a party in a brewery, as we would like to say, if we could say it. Now, that's nothing to do with me. I'm not taking responsibility that as a country we couldn't organise
it. I never said you should.
No, but you said as a country we couldn't organise a traffic jam. The fact is that's the Tory party's, transport secretary that can't organise a traffic jam. He's no use. You could kick him out as well, for all I know. But what I'm saying is that 20 rebels have caused a problem. Luckily, not much of a problem, because they're too stupid to actually realise that the Yvette Cooper amendment actually won't have any effect whatsoever. But they've shown themselves to be traitorous. They've shown themselves to be willing to betray their own party in order to make some meaningless point.
Well, it's not something I would have gone for, because I want to give us the freest hand possible to threaten the EU with getting to the table and doing a deal. So I would not have limited tax-raising powers, because I would have allowed the Chancellor to say, well, you know what, if I want to be the Singapore, I'll be the Singapore of the EU, and we'll lower our taxes, or we might have to raise them because we're not getting the kind of money that we thought we would. I think that flexibility needs to remain with the government rather than backbench MPs. However, I don't think that they deserve the kind of vitriol that they're getting from some quarters, because they are, on the whole, quite reasonable people who are very worried about the situation we're going to. Look, there's no mandate for anything in Parliament. There's no mandate for a second referendum. There's no mandate to, remain as we are, because people want to honour that Brexit vote. There's no mandate for a no deal. So we're at stalemate in Parliament. We are absolutely stalemate.
And
every week that goes past...
Listen to what you've just said, Katie. It is because of the way that the parliamentarians are behaving that we have a stalemate. We don't have a stalemate in the country. We have a 52-48% win on the basis that we want to leave the European Union.
But there are 50 different ways in which you can leave the European Union,
Mike. Well, it doesn't matter. There could be 100 different ways. That's not the point. The point is, we voted to leave. These bozos should do their job and carry out the will of the people. It's not for them to question it. It's not for them to go, oh, but we don't like that. They are working for us. They are paid by us. They should do their jobs.
But they are questioning exactly how we leave the European Union, because we can leave it in a harsh manner and we can say, stick your money. We're not going to participate in anything, but we may suffer greatly from that. Or we can leave it in a softer way, which is, let's try and keep going with the investment and the jobs here and all the other things. So, there are lots of different ways to leave the European Union.
There are.
And that's what's kind of troubling them. I actually think that there is a majority in Parliament to deliver that vote and referendum. I genuinely think that. I think from the Labour benches and the Conservative benches, I think together there is a chunky majority to actually deliver Brexit. But we are in danger of two things: either not delivering Brexit, because we will get to that March deadline and we won't have agreed on anything and we'll have to ask for an extension, which will be horrific, or
That may well be, but the bottom line, Katie, is that in the end, if they really care about the country and they really want to do what the people have ordered them to do, and they really want to get behind their leader and their government, and they really want to do the job honestly and properly, then they should be supporting the Prime Minister's plan. They should not be rebelling against it, surely.
And many of those people that voted yesterday will be supporting the Prime Minister's plan. Not all of them, but some of them will be. And of course, with every moving day in Parliament, there is a different plan. There's a Norway plan. There is a second referendum plan. All of these things are still on the table. I think the next few months will be extremely volatile in British politics. And we really don't know where we're heading. Are we heading towards... Jeremy Corbyn doesn't seem to be very keen on a second referendum at all. So we might be heading for possibility of a general election with a second referendum at the back sick of it, with an extension. You know, we could end up re-electing MEPs to the European Parliament in May this year.
Heaven forbid.
When we were meant to be leaving.
I don't even know who my MEP is. I mean, some of these Remainers who go banging on about how brilliant the European Union's been for us, right? They don't even know who their MEPs are. They probably never ever voted for one, and they wouldn't know where to find him if, in fact, they did know who it was.
Or her. But the point is absolutely on MEPs. I mean, what I've heard from my friends in the European Union are telling me that the MEPs know that it's kind of like the last days of Rome, and so they are acting much like that. So they're racking up the expenses, you know, all the things that we hate about the EU.
You
know, they're getting stuck in, you know, they're taking all kinds of invites, all kinds of different things, because they know they're not going to be around in a couple of months' time. And it does feel a bit like rats leaving the sinking ship, to
me. Well,
it
does. But don't you think that overall, the overarching sense down at Westminster is that not one person agrees with one other person? Everybody's got a different view of how we leave or how we should leave the European Union, and that should not be the issue. But they themselves have complicated it to the extent where we now have to have all these conversations, we now have to have all these arguments, and we can't just do one thing and get on with it. The vast majority of people, Katie, and you know this, you talk to ordinary people as well, and you're not just a lofty, you know, Westminster bubble type. The point is that they all just want us to get on with it. Let's get on with it and get out.
They do want us to get on with it. And I think the problem is that, yes, the parliamentarians have complicated it somewhat, but the general public are not faced day to day with the kind of questions that parliamentarians are faced with and the government's faced with. And so when you are closer to it, unfortunately, you can't just go, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, what do I care if a big car manufacturer pulls out of the UK, because that's what they're threatening to do if we go for a no-deal Brexit? You have to consider all of these things. You've got to consider the availability of medicines. You know,
with all that rubbish. I mean, the point is, surely they should be leading us, not kind of telling us what's terrible about
things.
I've not seen any leadership at all.
I think they are trying to, but they are stuck. And I think that, you know, when we look back, history will not be kind to them in terms of leadership, in terms of the government. But we'll appreciate that they have been, in some regard, putting it in such an impossible situation. And the position they're in now is that they either go for Prime Minister's deal, which they feel have got grave concerns over the Northern Ireland and Irish border, and some of the politicians are willing to kind of, you know, go over the edge on that and, you know, decide that they don't want to be part of the Conservative Party anymore. The Prime Minister, kind of, it all goes back to that horrific election campaign. If she'd won a big majority and she, you know, they performed better at that time, we wouldn't be in this scenario.
No, that's true, but it's also their job to work out these difficult scenarios. You know, you can say, once you've been, you know, it's a bit like when you're working in government or if you're working in a big company, somebody makes a decision. It's then the job of those people who do that job to make sure that it works, to make sure that there's a success at the end of the conversation, right? Now, you don't go back to the chief executive every 5 minutes and go, yeah, you know, the thing is, we can't really do this because there's so many different ways we could do it. We don't know what to do. You just get on with it. And they are elected as our representatives in Parliament in order to do the will that we make. And in this particular case, having been given the opportunity to vote in a referendum to decide what the future of this nation should be, I don't understand why they can't just get on with it.
But they're not performing monkeys. They do have brains of their own,
believe
it or not, some of
them. Well, I could name a couple that are.
I'm sure you could, and I'm sure I could too. But some of them, you know, they're going with their conscience, saying, look, you know, I've got politician friends who say to me, I cannot vote for Theresa May's deal, or I don't want a no-deal Brexit, but I do want to follow the will of the people. I do want to deliver on this. And there's this kind of awful middle way they're trying to find out, which will end up being a fudge. I mean, what we do know about this is that two things. First of all, the Conservative Party is still ahead in the polls amongst all of this. Where the hell is Jeremy Corbyn?
Well, he's 5
in terms
points
of
further
leadership?
Back, isn't he, than he
he's
was
just
last week.
Hanging back and waiting for the Conservatives to do their worst themselves. Mm. And he needs to show leadership too, because I think that he's been woeful in his
Listen,
behaviour.
My points here are not party political. My points are that they are all not doing what it says on the tin. They should all get on with their jobs. They should all understand why they have been put there. And that's why I'm calling now for Theresa May to kick these 20 people out of the Tory party. Let's have some by-elections and see whether anybody wants to keep them in there.
No, I think that would be a bad move. I think we've got enough
volatility. You're not in favour of democracy, suddenly.
I think we've got enough volatility at the moment. You can vote them out the next election. I think that they are, you know, they're representing a number of people. Just because they don't represent your views or some of your listeners' views doesn't mean to say they're not representing lots of people. For example, there are people on Twitter in the last 24 hours saying, I voted Leave. I want to leave the European Union. I'm a constituent of Anna Soubry's, and I think she's a brilliant parliamentarian. She helped me out on this local business issue. She helped me out with this, that, and the other. I just think she's fantastic, and I'm happy for her to be my representative in Parliament. You know, it's not as easy.
And that was
it's
put out by Anna
white.
Soubry's office, presumably.
No, it wasn't. Anna Soubry doesn't really work like that. I've got a lot of time for her, even though I don't agree with all of her positions in terms of Brexit. I think we can get, until I've always said, The EU will leave it to the last possible minute. They did it on the Greece bailouts. They said that we have budgetary limits, and then they last month gave Macron the ability to raise his taxes by 3% more than the budget allowed. You know, spend 3% more than the budget allowed. You know, the EU, it doesn't really know what it's doing. It makes out it's this strong, amazing power. It's a mess.
I agree.
Want our money. They actually want to deal with us. Until that clock strikes on the 29th of March, people telling me, I met with senior political correspondents yesterday. I had lunch with a load of journalists because I wanted to know what they felt, what they thought was going on.
And what sense did you get?
We're getting closer to a no-deal scenario. They cannot see a way where the government and the parliament will agree, and therefore we will just fall off the edge in March because we're leaving the European Union, and we'll just still be negotiating the week beforehand.
And you know what? We'll have wasted so much time and energy on the negotiation process that we'll all look back and go, why did we even bother? We should have just walked away.
And what we will show is that we're not at all prepared. I think that we've got overwhelming consensus in Westminster that there is no real decent preparation for a no-deal Brexit.
Yeah, because you can't prepare for something you don't know about.
Well, you can and you can't, but the problem is every time you try and prepare for it, like Matt Hancock buys a load of fridges to make sure the medicines can be kept to the right temperature, and we all rip the hell out of him saying, you know what, you know, New Year's resolution, I'm going to buy a cheap fridge off the government when they don't need it anymore.
Well, that may well be true. I mean, let's face it, the government are not very good at doing very much, to be honest. They ought to be doing, however, is just getting on with the job, and that's what they're not doing.
Well, you know, they've decided to get on with the job and make sure that we have supply chains in terms of from France into the UK via other means other than Calais and Dover. So they go and stick their money into a company that doesn't even run ferries, right? Hundreds of millions of pounds into a company that's never done this before, but was persuaded the government to take a bet on them because they're a British business and they're a startup, whatever it might be. It's woefully inadequate, and it will show over time, I suspect, that the due diligence wasn't not done in the way that it should have been. And so we don't have the skill set. I've always said also at the beginning, you know, the country's best companies, the world CEOs, they hire the best negotiators in their businesses. Governments don't have the best negotiators. We never have, because they go and earn five times as much in the private sector when companies need them to have negotiators.
Yeah, well, that's fine, but that doesn't really answer any of the questions that I've got for these people, because the fact that they're no good at doing their jobs is not a defence, as far as I'm concerned. And if they really can't do their jobs, then they should hold their hands up and get hold of some people who can.
But it doesn't give me confidence that we are ready to go, Mike. It doesn't give me confidence
that
at the end of
March. I don't
know
what you want to be ready for, exactly. I mean, if you were in a business which you were running and you knew precisely what was coming down the road, you would prepare for it. But if you don't know what's coming down the road, what can you prepare for?
Well, I think you can make a decent guess of some of the problems that you might face and what we need to do about it.
I don't think so, because, I mean, as we've been told over and over and over again, you know, nothing really is going to change. The European Union does not want us to walk away. They want our business, right? The companies in Europe that sell us goods want to keep our business. The people who fly here and work here and do all sorts of things regarding business in Britain will not stop doing it.
But what do you think a no deal means, Mike?
Well, a no deal means that we do not have to figure out any kind of negotiating position. We do not have to actually promise to do anything in particular. We basically take each a step at a time. And I think that's the best way forward. Because
in
the end,
it's going to be one-sided, because they don't have to either. They don't have to play ball with us.
They need more. They need us more than we need them. They always have. And they know that.
I think increasingly more we will be the ones that will be knocking on their door saying, we want to have trade with you. We want to sell
you.
If you're a farmer in Wales and you're selling lamb and you're looking at 40% tariff because we've fallen off the cliff and we haven't got a deal.
There won't be a 40% tariff. That's not going to happen. Why would they do that? It makes no sense.
Because they can say to their citizens, well, you know what, you won't be buying that anymore because it's three times the price.
Okay, so even more reason for us to go, all right, we'll stuff you then, we'll sell it somewhere else. You know, there's always an answer. You know that as well as I do. You know, this kind of scaremongering that we won't be able to move, we won't be able to talk to anybody, we won't be able to do any business with anybody, it's rubbish.
But, I think that if we come off with a no deal, I think we should be as optimistic as possible and we should be, very, very pro-Britain, all the different things we're doing. But if in the run-up to March, I do feel that it is fair for parliamentarians to raise their concerns. If they didn't, it would be wholly irresponsible to say, well, I was worried about that and I really did keep me up at night, but I didn't say anything because I just did what the Prime Minister told me to do. I mean, come on, you can't have it both ways.
I don't want it both ways. I just want it one way. I want out, and I want out now.
All right, well, you know, we can do that. It is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham anyway.
Absolutely.
So
I've already
in your
cut
own
all,
little
I've cut all
bubble
ties
in South
with,
London,
I've,
you can cut
I've
that.
I've cut all ties with the European Union. They get stuffed, as far as I'm concerned. I'm buying British from now
are
on.
Are you?
Yes.
I bet your struggle.
I traded in the Mercedes for a Jaguar, and I'm much happier, to be honest.
And where are all those parts come from in your Jaguar?
Where do they? I don't need parts. It's a new car.
Yeah, but
don't worry about it.
The parts that make up your new car, they come from around the world. And the supply chain,
yeah,
there's an 8-hour turnaround.
Oh, right, and that's all going to change, is it? No, we're not going to be able to get anything from anywhere.
I don't know. Call the CEO of Jaguar, but I'm telling you, he ain't very happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, he should be happy because he's got a decent job and he will still have a decent job come 2021. Listen, Kay, I've been told we've got to go because you've been blathering on for too long. But thank you very much indeed for giving us your perspective. Katie Perrier, former chief negotiator on behalf of the Prime Minister and, of course, former head of press at Downing Street. She doesn't agree with me that a no deal is fine. I think it's absolutely fine. And let's sack some MPs while we're at it. These 20 rebels need to go and find a new job, as far as I'm concerned.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
He'll never see you cry. Pretends he doesn't know. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. Donna Harvey's coming up very shortly. She's checking in with us from San Diego in California, where there's been a few odd stories of recent times, not least the man who spent 3 hours licking a doorbell as a family slept inside, currently being hunted by the police. They get up to some weird stuff in California. Can't explain it. His name's Roberto Daniel Arroyo. And we'll tell you all about that coming up. Let's go to the phones, though. Craig is in Oxford. Craig, a very good morning to you. Oh, good afternoon, I should say.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are we?
Yeah, good. What do you want to tell me?
Well, look, we've seen this sort of behaviour from sport users for the last 10 years. But I think these 20 Tory MPs have just taken it to another level. I mean, I can't figure out if they've got their heads in the sand or up the backside.
Yeah. Well, listen, you stay where you are because your line is awful. We'll try and get you on a better one and we'll come back to you. Let's go to Harry in Portsmouth. Hi, Harry.
Oh, yeah, hello, Mike. I've got a couple of names who should resign and have a by-election.
Go on.
I've got Amber Rudd and Sarah Wollaston.
Yeah, well, Wollaston's on the list of 20 anyway, so that's both of us have got her. I haven't got Amber Rudd, though. Why do you want Amber Rudd to resign?
She's on the list, isn't she?
Don't believe so, no.
Oh, right. Well, quickly on Amber Rudd, I think she's useless. She's MP for Hastings. She's never helped the fishermen at all. The previous Tory in the 90s, Jackie Lake, who did surface briefly in the referendum in one studio.
Right.
She bleated on about helping the fishermen down there. They've never by being, pro-EU, Jackie Lake and Amber Rudd, that means they can never help their local fishermen in Hastings. So we'll reserve her for a future list.
OK, well, do you know, a lot of people have a problem with Amber Rudd as well because her brother is very active in the Remain campaign, isn't he?
I'm just looking at my... I saved this page out the Sun, 8th of December, Saturday.
Yeah.
Roland Rudd, very wealthy city businessman, and he's behind that Ref2 campaign.
That's right, yeah.
Which I think we need a better register of members' interests, actually. That pathetic list we've got at the moment doesn't reveal enough.
No, I think you're absolutely right, because they did give us some transparency after the expenses scandal, but it appears to have gone back into a slightly more murky situation again. But Harry, you're quite right. Thank you very much indeed. A lot of people think that Amber Rudd has been influenced by her brother as well, particularly when she came out, I think it was just before Christmas, and suggested that she thought perhaps a second referendum was the only way to solve the problem. Let's see if Craig has got a better line this time. Craig, hi.
Afternoon, Mike.
Oh, that sounds a lot better. Go on.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what you caught last time, but yeah, these 20 MPs have just taken it to another level in terms of the short-sighted and pig-headedness that we've seen from the Eurosceptics for the last 2 years. And I can't tell if they've got their head in the sand or up their own backsides.
No, honestly. Indeed. I mean, it does. I mean, luckily, what they've done is not going to be particularly meaningful by the sounds of things. But they've also sort of shown their hand and shown themselves to be completely unworthy, really, to be part of the government.
Well, surely it's void of all common sense, though. Hmm. If you're in government, you need to plan for all eventualities.
Yeah.
And like it or not, one of the clear possible eventualities at the moment is a no deal. So why would you do anything to hinder your negotiating position or your ability to manoeuvre a no deal scenario?
Mm. No,
unless
quite.
You're a moron.
Well, also, they're not doing it for the sake of their electorate. They're not doing it for their constituents. I mean, you know, show me an MP who wants to stand on principle and I shall be heading straight for the door, to be honest, because it's not something they do very often.
Well, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Gone are the days where politicians are regional representatives. They now think they're regional dictators.
Yeah.
They're little Napoleons who think they know better than everyone else.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we keep making them feel that way. Even this thing with, was it Anna Salisbury the other day? They're going to make special privileges for politicians.
Yeah. You know, well, I mean, I was watching them all this morning, going huddling in for Prime Minister's questions, and they're all loving this. They're loving being at the centre of everything, because for a lot of the time, nobody really pays much attention to MPs, but the focus is now on them, and I think most of them are really enjoying it.
Yeah, I honestly, politicians are down there circling with the state agents and traffic wardens for me. Really, I'm not endearing themselves to people. The way that they act and the way that they behave.
No, I think you're absolutely
they're
right.
They're not in it for the people, they're in it for themselves.
Yeah, I think everybody's seeing through it as well. Craig, thanks very much indeed for your call. Glad we got you on a better line. Can't stop the beat. Ever since this whole world began, a woman found out if she could shake up a man. So I gotta shake and chill it the best that I can today. You can't stop the motion of the ocean, of the sun and the sky. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. 03444991000 is the number to call me on, because loads of you want to get on. Loads of you will get on. We're here, of course, until 1 o'clock when it's time for Matthew Wright and Kevin O'Sullivan. Coming up a little bit later on tonight, of course, the omnipresent Mr. James Whale will be here with his show from 7 o'clock. And I'm going to speak to James right now, because we've been talking this morning about hairstyles and about the fact that baldness is definitely coming in and coming back. And John Travolta is the latest Hollywood superstar who's decided to forget about pretending that he's got some hair. He's just shaving off what little hair he's got and looking like the billiard ball that everybody wants him to look like. Now, let's talk to James and find out whether being bald is a good thing or a bad thing. James, a very, very good morning to you.
Well, a very good morning to you, Mr. Graham, as well. Good to see you're talking about more serious subjects than indulging yourself in Brexit.
Well, indeed. I mean, there's only so much Brexit we can take, you know. So we're starting. Any other subject today starts with a B, and baldness is the thing. Now, you've been bald for years, right?
Well, I have. I have been given the grace, if you like, of not having to have hair all over my head.
Yeah.
Some people say it is a religious fervor. I'm not sure if I would agree, but there is no benefit for a man to have hair. Not so for a woman. A woman obviously has to have hair, but a man, I don't have hair anywhere, in fact, on my body.
What?
I remove whatever is there.
What do you mean? Do you shave your bodily hair? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Exfoliate, shave, wax,
Oi.
You name it. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of hard work, doesn't it? Because a man of your years will be growing hair in places that nobody knew it grew.
When I get to your age, Mr. Graham, I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, I thought you were about 10 years older than me, James.
No, I think I'm more like 15 years younger. But anyway, we won't argue about
that. Yeah, well, your memory's obviously going as well.
but no, I did... My hair did fall out about the age of 18, and although I do actually have quite a lot of hair, It takes quite a lot of work to make yourself attractive as I do, but you will see that now the style, the whale style, has taken over. It was a really nasty time in the 70s, 80s when the skinhead really began to cause people like myself a lot of embarrassment. But I think now people are beginning to realize the benefit of male baldness.
Yes.
Women find it absolutely amazingly attractive. So, listen, I'm very popular amongst the gay community as well.
Really? Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. Every sort of sexual persuasion finds a bald man very attractive. And I'm thinking, Michael, that maybe I could bring my clippers in tomorrow and you could spend some time in my world. You may find it very enjoyable.
Yeah, see, I quite like my hair, and as long as it still grows, I'm quite happy to keep it, because apart from anything else, I couldn't be bothered shaving it every sort of couple of days. I mean, how often do you have to shave your head?
Well, when I feel like it, but I, you know, and it makes me feel good, and it takes me 2 minutes. I used to, before I realised I could do it myself, pay an enormous amount of money to go to one of these very expensive barber shops where they spent an hour or so cutting it with scissors and massaging it. That was quite nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, and washing it, because they do say you need to wash, even though you only have a very sort of amount of stubble, you need to use a product on it to get into the roots. Because I do like a little stubble. I do like a little sandpaper feel around the back of my head.
Ah. And do you use a lot of sort of product on it? Do you rub things into it?
This is a lot of work to look like this, you know.
It looks very natural.
I know. That's the beauty of it, to make it look natural. I mean, the beard and the moustache and everything, I always think about that, Michael, as a kind of a window box for the face that needs to be trimmed, looked after, weed out some of them. Listen, I'm not being rude, but your hair has seen better days.
Well, I disagree, actually. I disagree entirely.
Yeah, I know, but we could put this to a vote. Lank at the back.
Uh-huh.
Why not? Listen, if we cut yours off, it'll grow back thicker and more lustrous.
Well, my problem is, right, that it grows in different ways in different parts of my head. For example, that it's more or less stopped growing altogether at the top of my head, but it grows at the sides quite well.
Yeah. Well, look, can I be absolutely frank with
Please.
You? I have more hair than you. If I was to let my hair grow, in fact, people who are old enough to remember my TV show back in the 90s,
no,
I had
nobody remembers hair. It, no.
Okay, well, I had longish hair, longer than yours.
Really?
Yeah. And then I realised I caught a shot of myself from behind. And you don't see yourself from behind very often.
No, hardly at all.
I think you would be so much more attractive, so much more appealing to people.
I don't want to be any more attractive, though, James. I get myself into all sorts of trouble when I look attractive.
Yeah, and I've heard that story as well.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go for it? I mean, we could ask people to donate money. We could do whatever you want. I'd like to see you with it all off.
Would you? I think you've got a problem, James, to be honest.
Why?
Well, what do you want? Why do you want to see me change my hairstyle?
I think you would feel a kind of liberated.
I mean, why don't you practice your kind of hair fascism on your sidekick, who looks about as hairy as a beast I've ever seen?
Well, it's his hair is all he's got.
It doesn't
got.
Look like his hair. It looks like he's borrowed it from a yak.
But, his hair is his comfort blanket.
Yes.
I don't think you need that, do you?
I don't, no. No, no. I'm good in my skin. I'm quite happy.
Yeah. So why not give it a go? Because it may be a revelation to you.
It might be something to do in the summer, but I'd be cold. I might have to go and sit down in Westminster at College Green for a few days coming up next week. I don't want to have no hair.
I have got a plethora of hats, of which I'm more than happy to lend you a couple.
That's very kind.
No, I reckon that you suit a hat too.
Oh, yeah, well, I've got a very nice Panama hat that I bought in the summer, which I wear when it's sunshining. But I just, you know, I think the worst. I mean, I would wake up in a cold sweat if I thought that my aim was to look like James Whale.
No, you wouldn't look like me. I can't. I cannot.
I couldn't handle it.
No, I don't think you'd be that good. But it might help improve what you have at the moment. And it, listen, isn't it worth a try? I've done hair, and I got rid of it.
Yeah, but you have no choice now.
Well, no, I have more hair than you now. If I let my hair grow, it'd be longer than yours.
So you keep saying, but nobody believes that.
Well, it would. But the thing is,
I've seen more hair on the moon.
When you take the plunge, the hair plunge,
yes,
you will feel so much healthier. As soon as it comes off, you feel thicker. You feel more
thicker,
athletic. You will be amazed how much better you feel.
All right. Okay, well, listen, we can continue this another time, because when the weather warms up a bit, I might take you up on your challenge.
Well, don't let anybody else touch it but me.
Okay, sweetie.
All right, okay, that's all I'm
saying.
Yeah.
All right, see you at 7 o'clock, James. James Whale will be here at Talk Radio at 7 o'clock. Don't miss a minute of his show with his hairy co-host, Mr. Ash, Asher Gould, of course, coming up a little bit later on. I'm thinking about my doorbell. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. Matthew Wright coming up, of course, at 1 o'clock. He'll be in just before that to tell us what's coming up on his show with Kevin O'Sullivan this afternoon. We are going to be speaking right now to LaDonna Harvey about that very bizarre story in California where a guy was found on CCTV licking a doorbell for 3 hours. I mean, talk about bizarre activity. I was slightly taken aback by that. But before we do that, let's get to talk about Mr. Donald Trump, the President of the United States of America, with LaDonna from KOGO Radio. LaDonna, very good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Are you sure you don't want to go back to the doorbell guy? Because he's way interesting.
He is really interesting, yeah. But the only thing I wanted to mention about Trump is that in all the time he's been president, he's never actually addressed the nation from the Oval Office, apparently, until now, which I find a staggering situation because, you know, this is a guy who loves the camera.
Yeah, he loves the camera, but he doesn't like competition.
Right.
And I think that, you know, the Democrats are going to do their rebut. And I think it's an uncomfortable situation for him. He thinks he does better one-on-one with the news media.
Yes, right.
And he's wrong.
Yeah. So he makes this appeal to the nation, saying basically that Congress needs to approve the $5.7 billion for the wall because it's a humanitarian crisis. So everybody knows the one thing you do in a humanitarian crisis is build a wall.
Right. In a humanitarian crisis, that is the first thing that you do. And then I don't think you do anything afterward. I think he's correct. It is a crisis. I mean, you've got people going down to Honduras and other nations and gathering up thousands of people and saying, come to the United States. It's okay.
Yeah.
And it's not okay. So first of all, that's on them. But once they're here, we do have to deal with it. And building a wall or not building a wall is not going to help us deal with the problem, the underlying problem, which are the problems in Central and South America.
Sure. Well, that's the thing. I mean, we have the same difficulty at the moment here with migrants coming across the channel in boats. And the idea that, you know, they're going to stop coming is not going to happen until you make it possible for them to stop coming or make it less favorable for them when they get here. You know, as long as they think they're going to come and get a better life, they're going to keep coming.
Well, yeah, and you know, quite frankly, do you believe that? You know, do you have an issue with what they're doing? Meaning, you know, they're searching for a better life. I understand that, but I would like to make their country better.
Sure.
So that, you know, if they
and then they wouldn't want to leave it so much. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's absolutely true as well.
And we also need to make a better immigration system. We need workers, so these are people that we can use. So why not make a pathway to citizenship for those who do want to come over and become United States citizens?
Yeah.
What the hell? I don't care.
Well, indeed. I think America and Britain have got slightly different situations ongoing, though, because, of course, Britain is quite a relatively small island nation, whereas America has got vast swathes of land where people can go. I mean, there's not that many places to go in this country, unfortunately.
Right. We have lots of places to go. Nebraska is one.
Yeah. There's nobody
Kansas,
there. There's
Iowa,
hardly anyone there.
Yeah. Farmers need help. They need workers. Americans won't do the work. So, you know, let's bring them in, make them taxpayers and you know, stop this this shuffling game at the border where we pretend that we don't want them, but we really do want some of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Now, tell us about this character that the police are searching for in California, a place called Salinas, California. Not sure where that is. What on earth is that about?
Well, it's interesting. Salinas is up near Monterey, so it's close to the Bay Area. And this guy, these people were out of town. This guy went up to their doorbell and just licked it for 3 hours.
That's incredible. I mean, that's a very long time to lick anything, to be honest. Isn't it?
I know. I have people searching for him right now because I really want to talk to him about this.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a bizarre. It's probably the most bizarre thing I think I've ever seen.
I know. It's very disturbing to watch. They've got the Ring Cam video of this guy licking their doorbell. Apparently, he stopped long enough to go to the bathroom on their lawn.
Nice.
But I'm not really sure. You know, what do you charge him with? Excessive
licking.
Tongue. He didn't sexually assault anybody except for a doorbell,
right.
And I'm not really sure that they can file charges.
No, indeed. I mean, the fact that it's caught on CCTV makes it all the more kind of chilling in a way. It's kind of sinister.
I mean, you know, all jokes aside, somebody who can lick a doorbell for 3 hours and not be fazed by it, God knows what else they're capable
also,
of.
Also, you know, it has to beg.
I'd like to find it.
It begs the question, does it not? How would you know that you like doing that?
I don't know. I've never looked at a doorbell and thought, yeah, I'd hit that.
Yeah. He must be known to the police, right? Because they said that they identified him immediately from the camera footage. So is he a known felon or something?
Right. He's a known criminal. I'm not really sure what he's done.
Right.
But whatever it is, pales compared to this. I don't know how you explain that to your jailhouse partners.
Yeah.
What
here we go.
For?
Salinas police say that he could face two charges for petty theft, because I think he took something, and prowling.
Well, okay, prowling, but I mean, it's pretty easy to prove that he wasn't really prowling.
He wasn't really moving,
he didn't
was he?
Go anywhere. No.
Presumably, you have to move in order to be done for prowling.
One would think, you know, you would have to, like, look in a window. He wasn't even interested in that. It was all the doorbell.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Absolutely ridiculously bizarre. Well, listen, LaDonna, you never know what we're going to talk about on this show. So I think that's probably the first and maybe the last time we ever talk about this particular bizarre story.
God, I hope so.
I hope so, too.
And like I said, if I find him, I'll let you know how that works out.
Yeah, no, exactly right. Now, the last time you and I spoke, we did talk a little bit about the government shutdown, and you said, you know, it's not really going to be affecting too many people. It must be affecting quite a few people now, because I keep seeing pictures of rubbish, garbage piling up all over Washington, and how you can't now go to various national parks because they're not open. You know, so there is now an effect being felt, isn't there?
There is an effect being felt. The national parks are filling up with garbage. That's, you know, it's a problem. We've got a park out here, Joshua Tree, that people are just tearing up, and I wish they would stop that. I don't know why people feel the need to be destructive.
Yeah.
But it's not affecting wide swaths of the nation.
Right.
It's very local in nature, except the Coast Guard, which is a branch of the military, and is not funded because it's not under Pentagon funding. It's under Homeland Security funding.
Oh, okay. So that would be a bit of a worry then for a lot of people. Well, we shall see. Well, I'm coming over to supposedly go to Joshua Tree National Park in a few weeks. So I hope they've opened it by then.
Well, I hope that they have too. It's open-ish, but you can always come out and hang out at my local pub and we can talk.
Yeah, we could do that too. Yeah, I'll bring a doorbell. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, LaDonna Harvey there, reporting in from San Diego in California, where all sorts of weird stuff goes on. But, you know, weirder than licking a doorbell, I don't think you're ever going to find a story as weird as that anywhere in the known world.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So if you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.